here with us this morning. Give him a nice smile and a round of applause. Make him feel welcome. Now, a number of folks will know who you are, and they would have seen your beautiful face before, and commented that actually we look like brothers, really.
Yeah.
Am I on? Someone commented if I was his father when we were away.
That was great.
It was really good. Yeah. Listen, you're going to share a little bit about our trip in a moment, but I thought for those who don't know you, could you just share in a couple of minutes where you're from, your background, and your faith background too? Is that right?
Well, I come all the way from South Croydon, but originally from Azerbaijan, and I grew up in a Muslim family, not a fanatic, strong Muslim family, nominal Muslim family. But in my young ages, I was looking for God, and it just drew me to go to the mosque, and then I started to learn Islam, and very soon became one of the leaders in the group. I was on the shortcut to become an imam, and then on that journey, I met with a Christian man who spoke to me about Jesus Christ. We nearly fought, but he was my uncle, and I had to respect him, which is part of our culture. And he spent about 2 months talking to me about Jesus Christ, using every second of those 2 months, apart from sleeping. Okay. So I was sick and tired of hearing about Jesus. Okay. And then one day he invited me to the church. It was dangerous for me to come. I came, I met with the Lord, and I found myself on my knees looking at this father who met me, and he changed my life. And I became, Jesus saved my life. It happened 24 years ago, and I've been serving him ever since.
Fantastic. Mm. That's worth a clap from the Lord, isn't it?
Thank you.
So how did you get to come to England, and why did you start TBM?
Yeah, after I became a Christian, I don't like saying became a Christian, God saved my life. He called me to a ministry, so I started to serve the Lord in Azerbaijan among Muslims. I was traveling across the country, leading Muslims to Christ, organizing this, secret home groups, and then leading people to the Lord, giving out these New Testaments and smuggling Christian books in the country. It was really fun. So it was great. Praise the Lord, God was protecting us. But God, and then church called me to be a minister in one of the churches, underground churches in the country. And then later on, they called me to become a general secretary of the Baptist Union. So I led the union, and then God spoke to me, going to have a theological education. In our part of the world, there's no Christian colleges or universities available for us. There are no Christian resources available. Is there Simon? Simon, are you here? Simon at Spurgeon's. I was at Spurgeon's as well, so it's a great place to be. But sadly, there are no resources for us to study God's Word, so God has amazingly opened the door for me to come to the UK to study. And he had a calling upon my life to serve people who are under the persecution and lead Muslims to Christ, and also set up a training center for those who don't have this opportunity to be trained in our part of the world, and then help them with education. So I came here with my family. By the way, I've got one wife, one daughter, and one son, for those of you who are curious to know. They are sadly not with me today, this morning, because I'm going to minister in the evening as well, so it's going to be a long day. And then I came here to study, and I studied at Spurgeon's College. Sadly, I wasn't able to go back to Azerbaijan because some of those books that I smuggled into the country were found, and then police and the KGB was on search. They were looking for me, so I wasn't able to go back. And we didn't know what to do, and then we asked the Lord to tell us what to do, and then we are here, and I suppose you're going to ask me another question.
Yeah, about TBM.
Well, prior to that, I'm really grateful to the Lord for the history and then experience that I had in the past. I was before I became a Christian, I was in the police forces as well, so police, and then I was fired from my job, and I experienced lots of persecution myself, being rejected by community, by family, and by the, you know, the colleagues, because of all this, you know, the idea that I gave my life to Christ. The persecution continued while we were here, and we were not able to go back, and we were praying and asking the Lord to tell us what's the plan B. And he said, there's no plan B, there was only plan A. And the part of the plan is to stay in this country and start the ministry called Turkic Belt Ministries. If you have a slide on the screen, I would tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes. I don't know how much you know about persecution, but there are about 200 million Christians suffering for their faith in Christ at the moment across the world. And they meet, next one please. And I had the privilege to, you know, minister with them in different occasions. And you can see this some of their faces on the screen and the next one. And these people don't have these wonderful premises that you have in this wonderful place. They meet in different secret places, in the garden, in the, you know, in the basement of the places, in the villages, in the houses. Next one. And these people don't understand the meaning of the word of freedom, because there's no such freedom exist for these people regarding their faith to worship Jesus or have a Bible or study God's word freely, and they suffer for their faith. And next one, and then these are the pastors that are serving in the country. Some of their faces on the screen. I'm going to talk about them later on. And if you go to the next one. And we set it up, the ministry of Turkey Belt Ministries, to help these people. These are Iranian refugees who are fleeing from Iran, coming to Turkey, seeking freedom. And then we're helping them with their ministries. We're organizing conferences, and I'm bringing out Christians, persecuted Christians, out of their context, like from Azerbaijan to Georgia, which is a Christian country, and then encourage them, teach them, bless them, and then send them back. And the next one. While I was praying and asking, Lord, what's next? And then God spoke to me powerfully. You know, being a persecuted and have shared a heart with those people, you always pray for those people. You understand the difficulty, hardship that they go through. And with that passion, I was praying and asking, Lord, what's next? You can do, you know, support these people, help people, bring freedom, and do all sorts of stuff. You are a mighty God. And then I heard all the Spirit saying, yes, I am. But how about you? What would you do for these people? And then this scripture powerfully touched our hearts. And we set it up, a ministry called Turkey Belt Ministries. On the next slide, you would see. And as I said, this is just a tool that God has given to us to reach out to our persecuted brothers and sisters in Turkey, Azerbaijan, Central Asia, Iran, and up to west of China. All of them are Turkic-speaking nations, not Turkish. Some people get confused with the name. But these are Turkic-speaking people. All of them are Muslim countries, but there are Christian brothers and sisters who serve the Lord. And then next one. We are, with our ministry, we are helping these people, as I said, organizing retreats, trainings, Bible courses. We're bringing encouragement to those people. We're bringing people with us from the UK and from Europe to meet up with them. We are offering a unique opportunity to the churches, to Christians like yourselves, to come with us and meet with your brothers and sisters in those places that will facilitate those meetings. And you have a first-hand experience meeting with them and sharing your time with them, praying for them, and letting them minister to you as well. Next one, please. We have got these amazing people who are supporting us. These are our advisory councils. David Coffey used to be General Secretary of the Baptist Union of UK. Mervyn Thomas from Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Edelai from Open Doors, and Baroness Cox. These are all wonderful people who are serving as our advisory councils. And we have got trustees as well. I don't know if you know or not, believe or not, Johnny is our chairman. He's the chairman of our board of trustees, and he's my manager. I have to be careful what I'm saying today. And the next one, the previous one, please. And this is what we're doing, and I've got lots of brushes that I brought with me. It's on the at the atrium, and you can take one of them and then pray for us. And there's a standing order inside. You can sign up to support your brother or sister in their own circumstances. But also, I would like to encourage you to sign up to receive our newsletters. We're not sending our newsletters to everybody, but those who are signing up, that I know those people, then we can send our newsletters, asking people to pray for us and rejoice with us. And this is very important, and I strongly believe in prayer. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I spend most of my Christian life praying, and I've seen lots of miracles God is doing through prayer. And if you are able to take one of these brochures, stick on your fridge, and then pray for us. Every time you see, pray for your brothers and sisters. I believe your prayer. Thank you for your time. And I believe there's another.
Yes, absolutely.
Coming up.
Last year, I had the privilege of traveling to Georgia with you, where we met a number of pastors from Azerbaijan, who several have been in prison for their faith. Mm. And it was a real privilege to listen to their stories and to teach and pray with them and to support them. This year, you invited me to go to Turkey.
Yeah.
To tell us a little bit about what happened out there.
I wanted to say thank you to you all for lending this brother to me to come with me to Turkey. It was a great privilege to have Johnny with me, as we were ministering these people in Turkey. As I said earlier, we are traveling to Turkey quite often and are ministering to Iranian refugees who are fleeing from their own countries, coming to the Turkey, and they are looking for a third country to go. They are basically marginalized and with all sorts of reasons. And you know the situation in Iran is really brutal for people to leave, even for ordinary people. But if you are a Christian, then you are faced to be killed. So these people are coming there, and then there are local Christians, Iranian Christians, who are working with them. But they don't have any resources. They are not able to teach them, help them to grow. So I came across with this Iranian community over there that they invited us to come and I helped them with training. So this time we were there. It's in Izmir, the third largest city in Turkey. And we had a privilege to minister to these wonderful people. So we were starting ministry in the afternoon and finishing up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And it's because they are hungry. They want to talk. They just piled up before in front of us every time we finish the session, asking us to pray for them individually for all sorts of reasons, all sorts of needs. And we had a privilege to minister to those people with Johnny, and it was incredibly encouraging. If you go to the next slide, please. Encouraging to see that 12 Muslims gave their life to Christ. Every time there are new Muslims coming to the sessions. On Friday evening, we had about 30 people. Saturday, we had about 50. And on Sunday, we had about 70 people. So numbers were adding up every day. And if you stay there a bit longer, people will come. And then we had the opportunity to baptize about five new Christians. And that was great, absolutely. And then we had the next one. We had a wedding blessing, and then it was amazing. And then Johnny has found his Iranian brother over there. You can see on the screen. It was incredible. Don't they look like each other today? There's a similarity. There's a great similarity over there.
Probably his grandfather.
Yeah. So we, I remember after, Sunday was an incredible day. So we went to two churches in the morning and the leaders' meeting afterwards. Then we had our session. This new people came to Christ. We baptized five new Christians and then we had a wedding blessing. And we appointed a deacon, the first deacon in the service, and we blessed these people and then carried on praying for different sorts of healings. And then we ministered to a couple, young couple. And then finished off about 1 o'clock in the morning or midnight.
It was an early night, that one.
That was the early one. Yeah. And then I remember walking back to our place where we stayed together. Johnny was telling me that we had hatchback But not dispatch.
Well, I said we've done it all today. I said we've had the catch. We've seen people come to Christ. This is what ministers are called to do: catch, hatch. That's the babies, isn't it? So seeing people grow in their faith and dedication for some. And then you've had the match, which is obviously you're trying to match people, their gifts, their talents. But also you're doing matching like weddings. And then you've got the dispatch, where you're sending people on their way to glory with a funeral.
Well, thankfully, wasn't any funeral.
There was no funerals. No, that was the only thing we missed out on.
Apart from baptisms, which can count.
Absolutely, dying to, that's right, yeah.
And then afterwards, we had the privilege of, you know, opportunity to visit the Ephesus. And I knew that I was coming to speak about Colossians, which is about 100 miles away from Ephesus. And I was just checking up to see what's happening there. As you see on the screen, we had this opportunity to walk in that place. And then if you go to the next slide, Johnny really enjoyed using the toilet in Ephesus. And he was posing as a modern Greek guard. And then Usain Bolt, he's posing to be Usain Bolt, right in the library of the Ephesus. So these were all historic moments. And apart from that, I think we have got a video that is going to be played. And that was Johnny, who was singing this Amazing Grace right in front of this amphitheater where Paul was preaching.
Like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Issa Messi.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you know him?
Issa Messi.
That was very short, and as I was standing near to him, I was trying to pretend that I'm not with him, just in case if they kill him.
What did that lady say, though?
And that this lady was watching us, and then I was just, you know, curious to see what would be the reaction afterwards. And then she said, "Oh, can you take our picture, please?" And then I thought, "Oh, that's great." And then after we took her picture, she came back and she said, "By the way, you had a wonderful voice. Thank you for this."
And then they wanted me to do more. It was incredible.
So it was great. And then if you go to the next slide, I wanted to finish up with this to say that this is just a great privilege that God has given to us to minister to these people. These people are really seeking Lord. And there is a huge need of people like us to go and help these brothers and sisters. I will finish with this, but I wanted to ask you a question, Johnny. How about you? What did you get from all this trip, and what did you feel God is saying to you?
I mean, it's a real privilege, as I've said to some of you guys before. Going on these kind of mission trips, it's really important for all of us to get involved in things like this, but especially ministers, because sometimes you need to get outside of what you get familiar with, what you get comfortable with. And it was just a reminder that God just loves to do things differently, works in different ways. And what I loved about that, I very much enjoyed Georgia. Fantastic, and really challenged there by some of the faith of some of these pastors. But I guess what I loved about this was that it was like church. It's like a baby church that just started. There were guys, you know, I mean, this church has been going, what, a couple of years now?
Five years.
Five, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's growing. It's growing very quickly. And to see people actually come to faith, to see them respond to prayer, to see God do things, there was a healing that took place. There was some other ministries that took place. And it was just exciting to see, you know, amongst these new believers or people who didn't have a faith. And there were so many young people there. which was really exciting as well. So it was a real privilege to be there, to see people respond, to be involved in that. And, yeah, just excited. I said to Elna, I'd really love to commit myself at least once a year to go with him there, just to build up those contacts and friendships. And, you know, I said, but obviously it also depends on my church family here because I have responsibilities here. But I would love to do that. You know, I'm excited about to see what God does with that church. I really do believe if we invest more, that church will double, you know, within months, I think, if you were probably there full time. So they need our help, they need our prayers, and they need our resources, because this building they were meeting in is actually owned by Turkish Church now, but it was formerly built by Andrew Brunson, who Darla knows and knows the family members, the guy who was imprisoned in Turkey for some time, the American pastor who's just recently been released. You know, they have no money because most of them are refugees, so they need, you know, they need help and they need support. But, yeah, it was very exciting. So thank you for releasing me. And, yeah, I look forward to more in the future.
And on this note, I wanted to say, could you borrow him to me a bit more, please? It was really good to minister with him because I like the spirit that God has placed in this man's heart. He's seeking the Lord's kingdom, and it was a great privilege to minister with you. And apart from that, I'm going to go to Georgia on Tuesday. We're having about 80 people coming together from Azerbaijan to minister to them. I've got about 14, 15 people coming from the UK. We're giving this opportunity to everybody. So I would like to ask you to pray for this.
Absolutely. We'll do that in a second. Yep. Just to say, in the future, these training sessions that Elna is putting on for the pastors in Georgia in particular, or from Azerbaijan who come into Georgia, there's opportunity for some of our folk if they're interested in coming.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
If you're interested in getting involved in this, maybe next year or later on in the year, then let me know. And
you don't have to be a pastor or minister. You just need to have a heart for your brother and sister to come and minister and pray for them.
And they do all kinds of things. They get involved in setting up venues, in children's work, women's ministry. So there's lots of different things you can do. But maybe good, a couple of people just come and pray for Elna and for the ministry of TBM and for this visit. Is that right? Can I get a couple of people come up? Is that right?